heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. I'm just going to give to Anissa to pray for the service.
Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you for the amazing heart that the youth we have today have for you, and the way that they want to bring your word to us in a new and fresh way through skits and through eating together and fellowship. And I pray, Lord, that today, as Dave speaks to us, I pray that you would really bring, you'd come to life for us, and that we'd be attentive to what you have to say for us through Dave. And we thank you for the time and effort Dave has put into this sermon. I thank you that you have spoken to him and brought a word for us today. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our youth service. Not that I consider myself young anymore, but there we go. I wonder how many of us here have ever got to the till in the shop or supermarket and then found that you're not able to pay because you haven't got enough money. Has anyone experienced that? A few of you, yeah. Well, a couple of years ago, I had that experience. I went down to Tesco's to the petrol station. Our car was getting a bit low on diesel. And I filled up. I decided not to use the pay at the pump thing because I thought, I'm sure that's a bit of a scheme to get rid of the cashiers. So I thought, I'll queue up and make sure these people keep their jobs. And I was in the queue, and then you know, you kind of get to that point where the person in front of you is just about to pay, and you thought, there's a bit of a queue here. I'll get ready with my cash card and my Tesco club card. So I got my club card out, and then I started going through my wallet, and I found my Nectar card, my Co-op card, my library card, but there was no bank card. And I thought, oh dear, I realized the night before I'd ordered something off the internet. And because I can never remember that long number, I got my card out, typed in the number into the computer, and left my bank card on my laptop back at home. So I then thought, what am I going to do? It's not too bad when you're in the newsagents and you've got your paper and a couple of pints of milk, because you sort of, when you realise you haven't got your money, you just have to creep out the queue, put the newspaper and the milk back and exit the shop rather quickly. But I couldn't do that because the diesel was in the petrol tank and I could not get it back into the pump. So I thought, I cannot escape this unless I drive off, and then I'll be caught by the security cameras. So I thought, I'm going to have to face what I've done. So I'm trying to think of a solution, and I thought, well, I could offer to maybe walk home. I'd be back in about half an hour, I reckoned. And then I thought, I know, I'll tell the lady. I'll see if I can phone Ness and see whether she can pay over the phone. So explain the situation. And of course, the people in the queue are all getting a bit restless because this was taking a while. And she said, well, we don't normally do this, but I'll let your wife pay over the phone. So the problem was resolved. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, although there's times in our lives when our financial resources perhaps are not there, and we haven't got the means to pay, it's also true, isn't it, that there's times when our other resources, maybe our emotional resources, maybe our knowledge or our mental resources are not enough to meet the situation or the demands. Maybe you've had that at work where you feel a bit out of your depth. Maybe there's a family situation, a relationship, a marriage or a parenting situation where you just feel like you haven't got the resources that you need. And so today we're going to look at this question. If I can, there we go. What do I do when I feel like I can't cope? Oh, we'll go back. What do I do when I feel like I can't cope? So, I don't know if any of you are experiencing this right at the minute, where you feel that life is a little bit tricky and you're struggling to cope. You're struggling with the resources that you have. So, what do we learn from this passage? Well, I think I've just picked out three things. There's actually loads of stuff in this well-known passage, the feeding of the 5,000, to speak to us today. Because I believe, I'm a big believer, that when we read the Bible, we don't just kind of do it to tick off that thing that's to be done for the day, or when we come to church, just look at the Bible because that's what we do at church. I think the Bible was written to help us to live as God intended us to live. And so I've picked out three things that I believe are in this passage. The first is that we need to know that God cares for us. That may sound a very basic thing, but actually it's absolutely foundational to our Christian lives to believe that God knows us and that he cares for us. And it's a very simple thing, but it's also a very complicated thing to get your head around. How can this invisible God that created the universe know who I am? Although I can't fully comprehend it, I know that that is true because it's the message right through the Bible that God loves us, God cares for us. And we see it in the passage today, in this feeding of the 5,000, because it says that as Jesus saw this huge crowd, it was probably nearer 10,000 people, because the 5,000 people were just the men. And the passages on this in the Bible indicate there were women and children there too. In fact, we know there were children because the person who provided the lunch or the bread and the fish was a child. So we know there were children there. So possibly 10,000, maybe even more. And to understand something of this line where it says, Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them, we need to know a little bit about the context of the passage. Because this was actually intended to be a bit of a holiday, a bit of a retreat for Jesus and his disciples. I'm guessing their batteries were getting a little bit low. They'd had a busy time. John the Baptist had recently been beheaded, and Jesus was just coming to terms with the loss of his cousin, going through part of the initial stages of grief. And we know from the passages on this, that Jesus wanted to get away, have some time alone with his disciples and a time to rest. And as they go across the lake to get away from the people, and someone must have heard where and seen where they were going, and they get this crowd who then arrive, and Jesus sees the crowd. Now, I think the natural response to this would be to send them away. Imagine you've been waiting for a holiday for months. You're worn out, you're tired. And the first morning of your holiday, you get a call from your boss saying you need to come into work this afternoon. I think I'd say, well, I've had this leave booked for months. I'm not coming back to work. And I guess it's a little bit how the disciples must have felt. It's like, send these people away. We're dealing with people the whole time. We need a rest. And that was their expectation. And yet Jesus doesn't respond like that. It says he had compassion on them. And from Mark it says, because he saw them and he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he was concerned for their physical needs. They were probably wanting to follow Jesus with the expectation that he was going to heal them. And it says that he did. But actually, Jesus wants to meet much more than our physical needs of healing and physical hunger. He does meet those, but actually he wants to go beyond that and to satisfy us in a deeper way. And he wants to do that because he loves us. He has compassion on us. And so a very simple question. Do you really believe that God cares for you? Do you believe God loves you? And it's a very simple question, but our answer to that will probably determine the course of our Christian lives, because it's very hard to truly love others if we don't know that we're loved first by God. And wherever we are on that scale of knowing God's love, because God's love is limitless, we can always know more of it. And so I'd ask us a question: what are we going to do this week to discover and know more of God's love? There's all sorts of ways he demonstrates his love to us. What are we going to do to discover more of God's love? Secondly, so what else do we do when we feel like we can't cope, when we've not got the resources? First thing is knowing God loves us, that he has compassion. The second thing from this passage that I want to highlight is that we need to know that our own resources are not enough. It's interesting in this account in John, and we see it in the Matthew account as well, that Jesus actually, first of all, asked the disciples to get the food for the people. In John, it says that it's in chapter 6, that he asked Philip to, and he says, where are we going to buy enough food for these people? And I guess Philip's a bit of a mathematician, because he does a quick calculation, guesses there's around about 10,000 people, figures that if they're able to get a sandwich in the bargain bin for a pound each, it'll be around about £10,000. So he says it's going to take 8 months' wages to feed all these people. I love the fact that, you know, you can imagine the disciples going down the local co-op and saying, right, can I have 10,000 tuna mayonnaise sandwiches? You know, the fact that the local corner shops, they're in a remote place, are not ever going to have enough food for these people. Their resources were not enough. And I love the fact that it's the boy that brings the lunch. The disciples had nothing to give to feed these people. Nothing, unless they were hiding it away in their rucksack for themselves. They even have to rely on somebody else to provide the lunch. And if we're ever in any doubt that one packed lunch could feed this huge crowd, I love it. I love the account in John, because it's almost like he goes the extra mile to sort of highlight that this lunch is not going to be enough. First of all, he says it was a boy's lunch. We're not talking, you know, you read about these bodybuilders that have like 15 eggs for breakfast and eat 5 chickens a day and 6 loaves of bread. This is not that. This is a little boy's packed lunch. We know, or the commentaries suggest, that he was probably from quite a poor family, because it even gives the detail of the type of bread. It said it was a barley loaf. And some of the commentaries say that that was often the bread that that poor families would eat because they couldn't afford wheat. And then if we're still in any doubt, John then helpfully points out that they were small barley loaves. They weren't huge, they were small barley loaves. And then he also says, oh, by the way, the fish were small as well. So we're not talking about some huge, massive salmon or something. This was just a little couple of fish. The resources were never going to feed the crowd. And you don't need to be a contestant on the Bake Off to do those kind of calculations. And I think what Jesus was doing when he was asking the disciples how they were going to feed this crowd was to actually get them to realize that their resources would never be enough. Human resources of ourselves without God will never be enough. And sometimes I would say we always need to get to that place before perhaps we then start our reliance upon Jesus. And it's not a nice experience. You know, it's a bit embarrassing being in the queue in the petrol station at Tesco's and not having the resources. But actually, you know, that was dealt with. But when you're in a situation and you genuinely feel you do not have the resources to cope, it is quite terrifying. You might be a little bit like this lady that puts on a smile, and when people say, how you doing, you say, fine, thanks. But actually, when you feel like you can't cope, it's terrifying. And sometimes God needs to bring us to that place before we realize the resources that he has. So, a couple of questions. Do you have a tendency to be self-sufficient? Do you have a tendency to be self-sufficient? I guess we all do to different levels, but where are you on that spectrum? And then something for this week, what step can you take to rely on God's resources? What step can you take to rely on God's resources? Jesus does a very simple thing in this passage to show his reliance. It says he took these loaves and the fish, and it just says he gave thanks. Some have said, oh, he was just saying grace. But I think it was more than that. I think he was actually thanking that God, the Almighty God with infinite resources, was the one who would meet the need. And he gave thanks. And that's a very simple thing that we can do, to rely on God's resources, to get our eyes off ourselves, off our own resources, and onto who God is. Because our resources will never be enough. And then finally, I believe that once we've done those things, we also need to step out in faith. In all the accounts, it says that Jesus, after he'd given thanks, he then gave the bread and the fish to the disciples to distribute. And a quick calculation, it says in one of the other accounts that they were sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And so my guess is there were at least 100 groups of people. Each group probably a similar number to the number of people in here this morning. I'd love to have known what went through the disciples' minds as he gave them their bit of the bread roll that they were going to give out. I don't know whether he gave, I was trying to work it out how it splits between 12. I think he probably gave half of a loaf to 10 of the disciples, and the other two got a fish each. Bearing in mind, they were small. And so they had half of a small roll, and they're going up, walking up to a group of 100 people. I wonder what went through their minds when Jesus gave them that half a bread roll, or or a small fish, and they're walking up to this hungry crowd. And often when people are hungry, they're not very patient. I know I'm like that at times. And as I thought about this, I thought actually it required great faith to take that first step away from Jesus with their half a bread roll, believing that that was going to feed. Well, do the maths, they actually had to feed more than just one of these groups that were sat down. And so they had faith, probably that they maybe just thought they were going to look stupid. And sometimes that's what faith involves, the risk to step out. But they needed to take that first step with what Jesus had given them. And then the miracle happens. I've wondered, how did it actually happen? Did, as they passed it on, did it suddenly, some extra bread grow out of the bit of bread in their hands? Or I don't know. But we do know that these thousands of people were fed and satisfied. There was an abundance, in fact, because they collected up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And it's a great picture, isn't it, of the heart of Jesus to satisfy us, to provide for us, and an abundance. And so, just a final question. Is there an area in your life that God is asking you to take that first step of faith? Is there an area? It might be a big thing, might be just a very small thing. And then what can you do to live by faith this week, to live with God's resources so that our lives will impact the world this week? Thank you for your time. I'm going to hand back to Phil, is it? No. Thank you.